Okay, hello. This is Jerry. Just want to say, looking forward to seeing you soon. Everybody's doing well. We pray for that. Amen. Bye-bye.
Good morning, Hope. This is Mary. I sure do miss everyone, and I guess it will just make it that much sweeter when we're able to gather together again. So until then, take care of yourselves and stay safe.
Good morning, Hope. I am sending you my best wishes here from Detroit. Thank you for all of your prayers. I miss you. I hope everyone is doing well and stays healthy. Happy Sunday.
Well, good morning and welcome to worship. For those of you who are here with us and those of you who are with us digitally, we give thanks for our ability to gather this morning. A few announcements before we begin our time of worship. First, please note that next Sunday we are having a digital coffee hour following worship at 11:45. And so if you want to participate in that, please let me know. If you need help, we'll be sending out a Zoom link during the week. And if you need help with Zoom, let us know, and we'll have somebody who can help talk you through it on the phone, how to use Zoom. And that's a way for us to hopefully be able to gather and converse with one another. And we'll be using Zoom along with some fancy features to be able to do that. So hopefully you'll join us next Sunday. Also, as we hit the month of March, we are asking a couple things. First, to let you know that our Love Fund has been at work and been blessing our community. We have helped some local families, and we have impacted their lives greatly at unexpected moments, and tears were shed. And so we're just grateful for opportunities to be hands and feet for one person, because we often talk about changing the world. And sometimes we think to ourselves, can I really change the world? And we forget that for one person, yes, we have an opportunity every day to change their world. And we have changed some people's worlds. And so we give thanks for that. But we need your help. We need your help to replenish the Love Fund. So if you would like to help us do that, please make a donation and make sure that it's designated for the Love Fund. Especially this past year, we have been utilizing it immensely to the extent that it is completely gone, and we need your help to replenish it that we can continue to help those in need. And finally, please remember that we have a Lenten Bible study going on Thursday evenings at 7, also via Zoom, and the handouts come out each week on Monday along with the Zoom info. So if you need help with that, please let me know and we'll work on guiding you through it. Now, as we prepare for worship, let us take a deep breath. Let us still our hearts and our minds. Let us open our souls to the Lord and listen to our prelude as we prepare for worship.
And now, won't you please join me in the call to worship? In the days of Noah, God placed a rainbow in the sky as a sign of a covenant of God's love for all the earth. In the colors of the rainbow, we see the sign of God's grace for all creation. In the days of Moses, the words of God were written on tablets of stone as a sign of a covenant between God and all of God's people. In the tablets of stone, we see the sign of God's hope for each to live in peace with God and neighbor. In the days of the prophet, God promised to place a new covenant in our hearts. As members of the living body of Christ, we see the sign of God's promise among us. Won't you stand and please join us singing the hymn number 374, Standing on the Promises.
As we find ourselves in our time of prayer, let us join in our unison prayer. Truth be told, Jesus, there are lots of tables that need overturning in our lives. Beneath the veneer of respectability, the tidy rows of neat regulations hide dark addictions and angry judgments, hungry greeds and heartless rejections. We know the pain, and so do those around us, of keeping up the facade. What a relief it would be to have it all upset, smashed, scattered, destroyed. So perhaps, Jesus, today you could pay us a visit and help to radically rearrange the furniture of our lives. Amen. And as we continue our time of prayer, let us lift up our silent prayers of our hearts, our minds, and souls to the Lord. And then let us continue to pray as music guides us in our reflection. Lord, we gather this day and we lift up to you many things that weigh upon us, things that lift our spirits, things that hold them down, things that galvanize us forward, things that hold us back. Lord, we lift up to you those things that we are proud of and those things that we hide within ourselves. Lord, we lift up all those places in our lives that we have stood up in the face of that which is wrong and unjust. Lord, we lift up to you all the times and things that we have done that are wrong and unjust. We know that we are not perfect, that we walk a path of sometimes doing the right thing and sometimes doing the wrong thing. But we know that within our journey, you are there. You are with us every step of the way, the good and the bad. You, Lord, carry us. We lift up to you many people. Persons that we care about and persons that we don't even know. We lift them up in our hearts. Some of them, it's just a feeling of somebody in need, and so we pray for them. And for some, it is a name, a face, a heart, a mind that we know and love and cherish, and we lift them up to you as well. Especially this day, we lift up to you Don Harvey, Jay Taylor, Bob Tupta. We lift up Emma. We lift up Christopher. Lord, we lift up those who are angry, those who are sad, those who are indifferent, and those who don't know which direction to turn. And in the midst of all that, we lift up ourselves. Lord, there is much need, and we ask that You help always to guide us, to connect us to one another, to help us understand that You are within each and every person we encounter, that each and every person that we meet is a little piece of You, calling us to join the greater good, to join in Your work, to recognize neighbor and each and every person that we meet. And in the midst of all that, we recognize that You came here amongst us to teach us these lessons. You came here to understand us, but to help us also understand You. And while You were here, You taught us a great many things through Your words, Your actions, Your prayers, Your simple presence among us. And You taught us a foundation of prayer. That prayer is important and essential to our lives and our faith. And so we join in that prayer which You taught us as we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Please stand in body or in spirit as we join in singing our next hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, number 395.
Good morning. Hi, kids. I want to talk to you about something today. How many of you have ever heard of Lent? I hope you have. And what is Lent? Well, here's some words from somebody. I didn't write this, but it's a special season of prayer where we take a look at our own lives and make sure we're doing what God wants us to do, becoming the people God wants us to be, and to focus on getting closer to God. Okay, so what does that mean? Have you ever heard of anybody giving something up for Lent? What kind of things? Chocolate? Yeah, I tried that once. Don't do that. That's really hard to do. Well, actually, when you give something up, it should be hard to give up, right? Sometimes, instead of giving something up, people try to do something good every day during Lent. Like, I don't know, saying hello to everybody that you see. Now, you're kids, so I don't want you saying hello to strangers, but maybe you could compliment somebody every day. You know, your friend, I love your shirt. Auntie, you have the coolest car, you know. Say something nice to people. People do that. But why do they do that? Why do they give up something or maybe add something during Lent? When people give up something, I think it reminds them of Jesus and how when he wandered in the desert for 40 days and gave up food, they want to be more like Jesus. And the devil was tempting him. So when you give something up, what you're trying to do is resist temptation, okay? So some of you know that I work at Glendale School, and I love teaching the kids there. And one of the reasons I love it is that I used to go to Glendale School as a kid. And when I walk around the building, I remember good things that happened when I was younger. And last week I was in the cafeteria, and I was thinking about Lent and how when I was little, I noticed that they served fish on Fridays. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, fish is like, blah. I didn't like it when I was a kid. But, hey, they served fish so well. And then the next week on Friday, guess what? They had fish again. And the week after that on Friday, they had fish again. So I don't remember, it was a long time ago, whether it was at Sunday school or at home or with my friends, that I finally understood that when they served fish, it was because our friends, this is what I thought then, who were Catholic, gave up eating meat on Fridays, so they had fish instead. Well, when you're little, it's kind of hard to understand. It's like, why put fish? Just don't eat the meat, you know. So what they were doing was giving up something that was special to them, and for a lot of people, giving up meat was important. So it's hard to give up something that you like. So instead of the cafeteria ladies saying, here, would you like a hamburger or fish? That would be too tempting. So they didn't even offer the hamburger. It was just fish, right? That's what we need to do. Let me put it another way. Let's say you came home from school, and the minute you get in the door, you smell chocolate chip cookies. Your mom made them. Oh, I love chocolate chip cookies. And there she is, and she's got a plate with two cookies on them. And she says, these are for you, but you have to do your homework first. Oh, man. So you have two choices. You could eat the cookies first because you're really tempted to eat them and then do your homework, or you could do your homework first and then have the cookies. Now, if you ate the cookies first, they're so delicious. You're feeling so good, but then you're feeling bad because now you got to do your homework. But if you did it the other way around and you did your homework first, you could be thinking about those cookies and how good they're going to be, and your homework goes really fast. 2 + 2 = 4, blah, blah, blah. And then you get the cookies at the end, and everything is good, right? It's the best way to do it. Which way are you going to choose? Well, actually, you didn't have a choice because Mom's sitting right there helping you decide what's best to do. You have to do your homework first and then have the cookies. So good for Mom for helping you resist that temptation. But you're done with your two cookies now. And oh, man, are they good. Mm-mm-mm. I wish I had another one. Where's Mom? She's not here. Oh, there's the cookie jar. Oh, did she say I shouldn't have any more? She only gave me two. It's full. She'll never know. Reach in. Take a cookie out. Clink. Oh, Peter, you're not getting in that cookie jar, are you? Mm-mm-mm.
Well, here comes Mom. I heard the cookie jar, and you've got crumbs all over your shirt or your mouth. Oh, so now you couldn't resist temptation without the help of your mom, and now you're feeling bad because you ate an extra cookie, and your mom's mad at you because you ate the cookie, and she's also mad at you because you fibbed. You told her a lie. You said you didn't eat it, and you did. So when we resist temptation, we feel much better, and we are closer to God that way. And when we can't resist temptation, it's really hard. And that's one of the things that people do during Lent. They try to resist temptation to be more like Jesus. So does anybody have any questions? How old do you have to be able to resist temptation without your mom? I'm looking around. No. You're never too old to be fighting temptation. And even though my mom's not here to tell me, don't eat those cookies, it's 10 o'clock, I still hear her in my head. And I have her in my heart and God in my heart trying to teach me the right things to do. So work on that resistance while you're young so that's easier when you get older, okay? Let's say a prayer before we go. Thank you, God, for loving us, for sending Jesus to show us the way, and for our parents and families to help us learn and remind us to make good choices. Amen. Okay, our first lesson comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You must have no other gods before me. Do not make an idol for yourself, no form whatsoever, of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the waters under the earth. Do not bow down to them or worship them, because I, the Lord your God, am a passionate God. I punish children for their parents' sins, even to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But I am loyal and gracious to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do not use the Lord your God's name as if it were of no significance. The Lord won't forgive anyone who uses his name that way. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you. Because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but rested on the seventh day. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that your life will be long on the fertile land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely against your neighbor. Do not desire and try to take your neighbor's house. Do not desire and try to take your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox, donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor." May God add a blessing to this reading.
Our second lesson for today comes from the Gospel according to John, the second chapter, verses 13 through 22. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who were selling cattle, sheep, and doves, as well as those involved in exchanging currency sitting there. He made a whip from ropes and chased them all out of the temple, including the cattle and the sheep. He scattered the coins and overturned the tables of those who exchanged currency. He said to the dove sellers, "Get these things out of here. Don't make my father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it is written, "Passion for your house consumes me. Then the Jewish leaders asked him, by what authority are you doing these things? What miraculous sign will you show us? Jesus answered, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. The Jewish leaders replied, it took 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But the temple Jesus was talking about was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered what he had spoken, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. There are lots of promises in our lives, and yet again this week we sang about standing on the promises. But this week I was thinking about a different kind of promise. It's the promise of the dough. Now, I'm not a baker. I don't often bake. I have been known to bake. Back in the day when we were doing communion and all these things here in person on the monthly, I was baking gluten-free bread. But that was about the extent of my baking. But I watch a lot of baking shows, so I get to live vicariously through all these people frantically scampering about the kitchen looking for this item or that item or realizing there's a twist and they got to use lemons and making some zest, you know, all that stuff. And I live through that, but I myself am not a baker. But I know from my limited experience and from my watching that there is something tedious and frightening about waiting for dough to rise. Because if it rises too much, then you'll collapse your bread. It won't work. But if it doesn't rise enough, then your bread won't look right and probably won't wow the judges, as often happens. You know, they poke it and talk about how stodgy it is, undebaked, as Paul Hollywood always likes to say. So dough holds this great promise of what it could be, but it's always fraught with peril because of the things that can get in the way, not hot enough. Too humid. That's one of my favorites. They're like, it's too humid in here. I'm like, well, you're outside. You shouldn't be baking outside. But there's all these things that can go wrong. But dough itself holds promise. Now in our scripture for today from John's Gospel, Jesus gets a little upset. And there's a few things about this that I like. First of all, he takes time, kind of like our dough. It doesn't say Jesus had a whip. It says Jesus made a whip, which means that he had to sit down and make this thing. Can you imagine watching someone do that? Especially if people kind of knew who he was. They're sitting there going, is that Jesus? Is Jesus sitting there? What is he doing? I think he's making a whip. Why is he making a whip? They're probably talking about this while he's sitting there slowly and methodically making his whip. So he waits. I like that idea of him slowly doing it. Just so methodical. But also then the dialogue that happens about why is he upset. It makes me think about something else, which is that sometimes, it's true then and it's true now, there are people who use church or religion as a cover for things. Man, between the trains and my insulin pump every Sunday. People who would use religion, use church, use the temple as cover for things. That they would be not good people out in the world, but they would come in and they would give big tithes and big offerings, and everyone in the temple would say, look how good they are, and not ask, but how did they come to these means? There were those that would come in who were very risen dough, but who were overrisen because they had not done so correctly. They were puffed up by the world, but not by the Spirit. And I would imagine that Jesus would be angry about this. Why are you heaping praise upon these people who have treated others so harshly to benefit themselves and ignore those who maybe don't have as much, but who are more truthful and faithful? Now, when the pandemic started, another thing that took off was all these people were making sourdough starters. I was, again, not one of them, although I do love a good sourdough. I'm a Midwesterner, so I think I'm supposed to love sourdough. But what happens with a starter is that it can start off good, but if you don't take care of it, if you don't treat it properly, and you got to feed it, I think it's a pet, it sounds like. You got to take care of it. Do you walk a starter? Do I have to walk it? But if you don't take care of it, it can turn, it can go bad, it can die, it can stop working for you. And it makes me think as well about how Jesus gets upset about what's going on in the temple. Because he looks at these people who are selling things to be sacrificed, and those who are exchanging money, and I would imagine that it would have been good to have the ability to go to the temple and then purchase your sacrifice. That to try and undertake a journey to Jerusalem while having to keep a dove alive or a goat and drag that thing with you would be rather difficult. And so I think that it started off good, this practice. And it makes sense that if someone was a Jewish person living in a far-off land and they were coming to the temple as they was their duty to do so, and they had foreign currency and needed to be able to do this, but you know they didn't have the means, although it's all gold, so you think they'd be able to figure that one out. But again, I think there's all these things that Jesus is mad about that started off as good, but at some point along the way changed from being about serving those in need to being about profiting off those in need. It started out good. Just like our dough can start out good, but can quickly turn bad. Because we, if we do not take care and check ourselves and evaluate ourselves and stay in tune with the Lord, can go off the path quickly as people. And so this finally should make us ask ourselves an important question. Do we evaluate to see what in our lives has become a table that Jesus would now flip? There are things that I think we did and things that I think we do that started off good, but throughout the course of our time, for lots of reasons, our own inner influence, our own understanding of things, or just the progression of the world, have now become bad. And it challenges us to remember that we have to always evaluate and ask ourselves, is the table that we now sit at one Jesus would flip over in anger and frustration and love? The promise of the dough is that together, we together can rise. We always talk about that we are one bread, one body. And that means that we need each other. It doesn't matter if we don't like that other person. It doesn't matter if they understand things differently than us. But what matters is that we need each other because we're all in this together. We talked about this in our Bible study this past week. And I referenced the movie Titanic, in which those on the upper decks are like, hey, everything's pretty good. Meanwhile, those in the economy class in the bottom of the boat are like, there's water coming in. We gotta get out of here. We are all in this together. We are all in this together. And if we cannot work together, then we cannot rise the way we are supposed to. But through Christ, we learn about neighbor and about love and about growth in a way that challenges us to remember that we need each other so that we can rise and fulfill the promise that we have been gifted. We can grow as long as we evaluate that which is bad, not because it started out that way, but because maybe it has become so, and recognize that it's no longer okay to use that for our dough. We rise because we are full of promise. We rise because God loves us. We rise because He arose. Amen. Our next hymn is number 614, For the Bread Which You Have Broken. Please stand in body or in spirit as we sing. Service, we will have drive-through communion from 12 until 1, but the beginning of our liturgy will be part of our service because we are united in community no matter where we are. Let us pray. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that the scriptures that we have heard and the word that have been proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Christ our Lord invites to the table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. And so we remember our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Part of what it means to be a reconciled people is remembering that we are united together. And remembering that God has done many things for us and called us to generosity And so we move into a time of offertory and a time of offering, knowing that this is one way in which we return to God some of the blessings that He has poured out into each and every one of us. We offer of ourselves, our lives, our witness, our presence, our prayers, our gifts, and our service, knowing that as we lift all of these up to God, our generosity is grown within us. Let us pause for a moment of silent reflection as we engage in a spirit of offering, and then we will join in singing our doxology. Please stand as you are able, or stand in spirit as we sing our doxology together. Teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives. Please be seated. We remember that on the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, and He gave thanks to you, and He broke the bread. And He gave it to His disciples. We're not doing communion yet, though, so you can, you're cool, colleague. Don't worry, we'll get there. We're going to do it after the stream ends. Okay. Yes, don't worry. I'm just going through the remembrance part. So on the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took bread, and He gave thanks to you, and He broke it. And He gave it to His disciples, and He said, "Take and eat, this is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And then when the supper was over, He took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you, because this is My blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of Me." And so we do, Lord, remember what You have done. We remember that there is one loaf, and that we who are many are one body when we partake in the one loaf. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ, and the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. And so we give thanks for that, Lord. And I hope that You will join us for communion during drive-through communion, knowing that all are welcome at the Lord's table. And as you prepare to continue on your journey this day, may you know and remember that the Lord loves you, that He helps you, each and every one of us, to rise to be more, to live into the promise that He has set within us, to challenge us to grow, because she loves us so much that she pours herself out into each and every one of us. Each and every day. Amen. Let us join in our benediction response, the Lenten benediction.
We are hasty to judge others.